The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by everybody who goes on over to patreon.com/JURY. That is where we have the show here for you guys. You know, it's funded by listeners like you. I very much appreciate everybody being supportive and keeping on with the show. Extra content coming all the time, including a bunch of politics, extras, and some dispatches from the field in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Thank you to everybody. We're closing in on 400 patrons. So if you are considering it, this has been an amazing year, and we're continuing to make it the best year ever. So go ahead and check it out. Only 8 more patrons to 400. I very much appreciate it. And The Contender, the game of presidential debate. Head on over to thecontender.us so you can pick up the game that is the most talked about in the history of the world. That's a bit of an overstatement. But we just came back from New Hampshire where we talked to people's ears off about it. It is such a fun game. We very much appreciate everybody who has supported that. If you want to know what all the fuss is about, head to thecontender.us for your copy. But enough of this horsing off. Let's go ahead and start the show. Tell you what, big shout out to the homies in the Possum Posse. They finally got their social media act together and realized that there are literally tens of thousands of people that are watching their Guy in a Buffalo videos every single day. They have gotten their act together. They are on social media. Go follow them right now at the Possum Posse on Twitter and let them know that you love hearing them at the beginning of this podcast, largely because I never asked their permission. So I figure for them to not just tell me to knock it off, we need to hit them with a steady stream of compliments. Also, unsolicited shout out for them. Pick up their new album, Local Motive. Local Motive. If you've been following any of the Contender videos that we put up there on the YouTube, I've been using songs off there to score our little visual adventures throughout Des Moines and Manchester specifically. It's great. It's a great album. Go get it. Local Motive. Oh, crap. Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've done a show. I've been out on the road. You know, man, I thought this was going to be the opposite. I thought I was going to get off my job of doing a business traveling, and then I would be able to be here and doing this show from the studio, but I'll be good goddamned if I wasn't out there in Iowa and New Hampshire over the last few weeks, and it's been throwing the jury schedule off like a mug, but we got a hell of a show here for you. I'm going to tell you a story about how I'm on the hook for about, well, I'm on the hook for about $50 in iTunes gift certificates. And it was for just a terrible reason, just an awful reason because of an awful human being. We're also going to talk about an unfortunate man who wound up being on the wrong side of a Chipotle offer today, and I'm going to yell at my brother about what he's going to name my nephew, because these are the kind of things that I feel like you need to hear about, dear listener. You need to hear about me taking an unsolicited shot at my brother and my sister-in-law for what they dare to use the middle name of their own firstborn child. Because that is my dominion. I have a platform, and they will hear my opinion, and so will you. But let's go ahead and start off with where I found myself last night. We've been on the road, as I mentioned, in Iowa and New Hampshire, plugging this here game, the contender, the game of presidential debate. Go ahead and check out facebook.com/thecontendergame for all of our rundown there. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at contendergame. So I was planning on spending all of Monday in Manchester, which is in the center of New Hampshire and effectively is where all the campaign headquarters are. I was planning on spending another day there, but then all of a sudden the weather starts getting bad and it looks a little shaky on whether or not if I stayed as late as I was planning on Monday, if I'd get snowed in and not be able to get out, which is a problem because Tuesday is a really big podcast day for me. I wanted to be back in studio for that. So I make the executive decision to peace the hell out and get down to Boston last night, Sunday night, so I can get out early in the morning, Monday morning. This also, for those of you who are pulling this podcast out of the history of a fallen civilization and identifying it as indeed the greatest example of podcasting ever, I would note for you that this is being recorded the day after the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl. This one, Super Bowl 50 here in the Bay Area, featuring Peyton Manning and the Broncos versus Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. This game ended with the defense of Denver dominating, flustering Mr. Newton, and bringing home a championship to Denver. So I decide, you know, I'm going to watch the game with my buddy, Tito. Tito is a friend of mine from college. Great guy, runs an amazing design firm called Upstatement. Great, great human beings there. So I'm watching the game with Tito. And if you've ever watched anything with me or been around me, you might know that as one of the repercussions of being raised by a compulsive gambler is that I always like to have little side action. It's a favorite thing, and nothing is more conducive to that than the Super Bowl, which has its own rich, you know, rich history of prop bets. So we start to get to the end, and it becomes clear that Peyton Manning is going to win his championship, and as been the narrative over the Super Bowl week, the big question is whether or not Peyton Manning is going to retire. This is largely because Peyton Manning has 8 nuts, and I don't mean macadamians, pretty much the entire year. The velocity on his passes has been reduced to that of a top being thrown by a frustrated toddler. And he looks barely able to hang on to his position as a quarterback because he's a very, very smart person and is able to, outsmart defenses despite the fact that there are fast-pitch softball leagues that could throw with far more velocity than Peyton Manning. But if there's one thing that Peyton Manning is very conscious of his own image, very much has meticulously curated his own image throughout his career. If you don't follow sports, this has been done very effectively. He realized, about halfway through his career that he was somebody that was looked at as a very kind of square dude. So comedy, against type comedy, would come very natural to him. He became a great pitch man because of this. He hosted Saturday Night Live, and it was very funny because he was always more funny than you expected. Now, this also has a dark side. him guarding his own image. It was not but a few weeks ago, there was an Al Jazeera documentary that accused him of using human growth hormone to get back on the field. See, now, if you're not a sports fan, you don't know that Peyton Manning had a huge neck issue that wound up having him sever ties with the team that he had played his entire career, the Indianapolis Colts, and going to the Denver Broncos. But there was a question on whether or not he would really ever be able to play football again at that point. So it wouldn't be a shock if he used HGH. And that's what this documentary alleged. So how did Peyton Manning treat it? Well, he came out incredulously and said it was absolutely incorrect. And then apparently hired thugs to go shake down some of the sources in the Al Jazeera documentary because nobody F's with the Peyton. So let's go back to this bar I'm watching the game in with Tito. Watching the game and I'm like, all right, what do you think? Is Peyton Manning going to go full Jerome Bettis and retire from the podium? Is he going to hold up the Vince Lombardi trophy and say, hey, this is my last ride. Thank you, Denver. Thank you, the NFL. Thank you. Thank you. I am going out on top. The narrative is complete. Peyton Manning, once known as a guy who couldn't win the big one, now forever cements his legacy by saying, I'm out, literally, on top. Because the podium in which you receive the Vince Lombardi trophy is raised from the ground. Just imagine it. People looking at him from genuflecting, right? With tears in their eyes as he, like the monkey Rafiki, lifts the Vince Lombardi trophy as if it was his own personal Simba. So I said, you want to know what? I think he's going to do this. I think he's absolutely going to do this. Tito says, no. No! See, Peyton Manning's narrative will not allow him to take a team moment and make it a personal moment. He's got a little bit more class than that. He is going to demur when they ask him if he's going to retire on the podium. So, the game ends. Peyton Manning begins to make his way over through the crowd. Now, who do you think Peyton Manning first meets up with? Wife? Kids? Coaches? Teammates? No, none of those. He decides to make a beeline over to Papa John. Papa John? What do you mean? You mean Papa John, the pizza guy? Yes, Papa John, the pizza guy. He makes his way over to Papa John and kisses him on the cheek. On camera. And look at the poop-eating grin on this guy's face. There we go. A little kiss, and then he turns around, and boy, is he delighted with himself. At which point, he goes on over to do an interview and makes it very clear that he is going to go drink Budweiser tonight. So not only does he shamelessly plug Papa John's, for which he owns franchises, but he goes and makes sure that he works in a native ad for Budweiser beer. And it's at that point, dear listener, that I believe that I am in the command position on this little bet because I believe that this man has already made this crass marketing opportunity, and it would be all the more better if this is repeated forever in the history of NFL lore when he makes his retirement announcement. It's also at this point that Tito and I set the stakes for this. We decide that the person who loses is going to have to buy all of the Best Picture nominees on iTunes for the other. So this is like $50 we got to spend on this on stupid, Best Picture nominees. So here it is, the moment of truth. They make their way up to the podium. It's Jim Nance, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, Peyton Manning, and the MVP, Von Miller. So first things first, commissioner comes out and says, well, Peyton, we've heard that this is going to be your last ride, and if that's the case, what a ride it's been. Congratulations. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Now I'm feeling good. Ha! I feel good. I'm feeling in the driver's seat. Buckle up. It's already out there. It's an open secret. Of course he's going to do it up there. They go to Von Miller. He says, ah, I won the MVP. I'm great. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. They go to the John Elway. Ah, this one's for Pat. An echo of Pat Boland, the owner, saying this one's for John. Oh, touching moment. And then there we go. Peyton Manning. He makes his way up to the mic. And he says, yeah, well, you know, it was a great season. Team effort, yada, yada, yada. We're just really happy to bring a new championship back home to Denver. And then Jim Nance steals himself, gets ready, and fires off the question of all questions. The question that will win me my $50 worth of Best Picture movies. It says, Peyton, are you going to retire? Peyton Manning takes a moment. Tito and I look at each other. This is the moment of truth. We've never been more on edge for a very stupid, banal end of the Super Bowl press conference. These things are never interesting. They never make news. Even if he were to announce his retirement, it would be so anticlimactic because people have been talking about it openly for a week. But we need to find out if he actually does. Peyton Manning says, well, I talked to my old coach, Tony Dungy, said, don't make any emotional decisions. So I'm not going to address that now. I'm going to go talk to my wife and kid. Oh. I lost the bet. It's an open secret. Everybody knows he's going to retire. He's image obsessed. He kisses Papa John. He makes sure that he yells about Budweiser. And then he doesn't go the whole nine yards. He has selective, let me not make this about me, modesty, right? For whatever reason, shamelessly cramming in your sponsors in native ads in a post-game press conference, most likely your last. That's not distracting from the team. But God forbid you make your narrative come full circle and win me $50 worth of movies, Peyton! That's too much! Too much! You're a real stupid asshole. And this is the one thing, the final punch in the gut. Peyton Manning looks right into the camera and says, anyway, I gotta go, Jim. I'm gonna go drink more Budweisers with the MVP, Von Miller. I hate you and your face, Peyton Manning. Much more coming up after this. Big news today as Chipotle, the famed burrito dealer, closed their stores because they have had an issue with food poisoning. And so they decided to take a chain-wide town hall meeting today in the middle of business so they could demonstrate how seriously they took food safety. This coming to you from the New York Times. Chipotle meeting outlines food safety to workers and message for the public. we read here from the top of the article. Chipotle Mexican Grill closed its more than 2,000 restaurants for 4 hours on Monday to hold a virtual town hall meeting with its employees about steps it was taking to improve food safety and regain customers' trust. People will come back, Steve Ells, the company's co-founder and co-chief executive, told more than 50,000 employees who were connected to Chipotle's Denver headquarters via video. This became a field day for a lot of Chipotle's competitors, like Taco Bell and Moe's, as they drew attention to the fact that Chipotle was closing down due to a food illness-related reason, which is always just the death knell for any restaurant, and offered their own deal. So if you went to, if you were really in the mood for a burrito, come to Moe's, come to Taco Bell, we'll get you a deal on that burrito, Pop. Chipotle, not one to stand down, offered the deal of their own. If while they were closed, you went ahead and sent a text message to a previously set up number, they would give you a code for a free burrito. All you had to do was text RAINCHECK to 888-222 by 6 p.m. this evening. So if you're listening to this, yeah, you missed it. But a lot of people did. In fact, one person got a grand influx, a firsthand account of how many people were trying to text Chipotle for their free burrito. That man is Hank Levine, a technology attorney from Washington, D.C. We go to the Tech Insider article as written by Madison Malone Kirkner. If you text RAINCHECK to 888-222 by 6 p.m. tonight, you'll receive a text message with a coupon for a free Chipotle burrito. But if you add one more two to the end of that number, you'll be texting Hank Levine, a technology attorney from D.C. who has spent all day responding to strangers reaching out to him in the hopes of scoring some free grub. We take a look here at some screen grabs of Mr. Levine's phone, which is healthily charged at 82%, by the way. 47 unread messages, and nearly all of them read people typing in RAINCHECK. This comes in from Dory Levine. My father-in-law's cell phone is blowing up with people thinking that they're getting free Chipotle. So what do you do? What do you do if you're old Hank and you want everybody to know that this is not how you get your free burrito? Well, you got to respond to them. You got to let them know that they're not going to get a free burrito from texting Hank Levine. Now, if you are also in the market for some technology litigation, then this is the place to be. I'm sure he could probably work a deal out wherein, along with his payment, he would also furnish you with a free Chipotle burrito built into the price. But many people were not looking for such a combo. No, no, no. They got a little salty with old Hank. So if you can see here on our video version, I'm showing a screen grab. You can go ahead and, by the way, find our video version on my YouTube, youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung. He responds to one folk, "You didn't text Chipotle." To which, what I would consider to be the newsworthy sentence of the week appears back. "Where's my free burrito, bitch?" Like, where are you in life where that's the appropriate way to respond to something? Like, let's assume that you did text Chipotle, and for whatever reason, the corporate entity known as Chipotle is being coy with you. That they're like, "Oh, no, you didn't text Chipotle." How? I mean, like, is this like some sort of weird role play that he has? "Where's my free burrito, bitch?" This is even funnier in the context of how Chipotle put out this offer. They basically put out the offer saying, hey, listen, we understand that there are a lot of loyal folks out there who are really looking for a Chipotle burrito this afternoon. We want to make sure that we take care of you. So just go ahead and text Rain Check In. We'll get you your free burrito. And just the entitlement of somebody who texts in and gets a friendly, hey, by the way. Because by the way, this Levine is doing you a solid. He, I'm going to racially stereotype based on his last name, is being a bit of a mensch. He's being a good guy. Good guy, Levine. He's saying you didn't text Chipotle. You could have lived your entire life believing that you'd text Chipotle. And you could have gone to a Chipotle and shown them that text message and said, oh, but I texted. I texted within the time, but no. Good guy, Levine. The macho mensch. Oh, yeah. Let's you know, this unnamed person, that you don't have a free burrito coming to you. You've texted the wrong guy. And you respond with, where's my free burrito, bitch? I like to imagine that this is Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. Where's my free burrito, bitch? Although I think this is a good thing for Levine. This should be Levine's new gimmick. You know, he said, listen, I'm Hank Levine. I litigate on technology issues here in the Washington, D.C. area. Go ahead and give me a call. 1-888. Well, he has his number out here now, right? 888-2222. Again, that is Levine, 888-222. Either you win your case or you get a free burrito. Bitch. So here's another fun fact about me. I have a bit of a reputation with my family for being a loudmouth and opinionated. I know. Shocking. But one of the earliest examples of me interjecting my opinion where it was, not wanted, nor encouraged, is my weird fascination with people naming people things. Very famously, in family lore, when my brother was being born, I wanted him to be named Michael, not Eric. My mom explains to me, very patiently, while she's, you know, having a child, to her bratty, crying son, firstborn son, that he's going to be named Eric and not Miles. Or sorry, not Michael. Freudian slip as we get into our story. So I said, well, name the middle name, Michael. Also, I wanted him to be named Michael because I had a friend named Michael. I don't know why. I just needed everybody to be named Michael. It would have been confusing, right? Anyway, this is my thought at 3.5 years old. So they're like, no, we're going to name his middle name Taylor. Oh, well, I'm going to cry then. It's basically my counterproposal and cry I did. And then eventually I met my brother, and Eric Taylor fits him like a glove. So, flash forward to that same little brother, Eric Taylor Young, who is pregnant along with his wife. His wife's doing most of the heavy lifting, metaphorically and physically. They are going to have a kid coming up here in the next 3 months. They've settled on a name, or at least they have come close to it, and they are detailing their adventures on the Young Family Podcast. Big shout out to the Young Family Podcast. Go download it now. If you remember the podcast I did with my wife, Ashley, in the lead up to our wedding, very much in that spirit, and you will understand that this luxurious gift of gab that you guys enjoy on this very program is indeed hereditary, as my brother and his wife are fantastic hosts, and it's been very exciting for me to listen to them come into their own. I know there's a lot of one of the great pleasures of this podcast is how many women and families that listen to the show together. If you are either thinking about having a kid or have had a kid, I think it'll be right up your alley, Young Family Podcast. So they revealed on one of the early episodes that they were going to name their son Jackson Miles. So first things first, I immediately had strong opinions. Because again, this is my superpower, to have strong, unwanted opinions on the very, very personal and contentious issue of naming a child. Again, I have no seat at the table. I'm literally just yelling from the outside with strong hot take opinions. If you were to categorize my opinions in an emoji, it would be three fires. Because it's hot. These hot takes, they're lit. So I'm like, all right, Jackson. I mean, fine, if you want him to be a folk singer. Also, I mean, what, you might as well just name him Jack. He's just going to be Jack. And then I'm like, all right, Jack Young. That's strong. Jack Young, strong name. Jackson Young, interesting dynamic name. I came around to it. Okay, Jackson Young. But I also really liked Miles. Miles is Miles Young. That's great. That's what they wanted to settle for, the middle name. So maybe if he hates Jackson, he can go by Miles. All right. Pretty good. Then they dropped the spelling. Because it wasn't going to be M-I-L-E-S. No. Miles would be spelled M-Y-L-E-S. To which point, well, I'm sorry, friends. It was just a bridge I couldn't cross. I had to let them know my opinions. Miles with a Y? What in the hot ham sandwich is going on here? Is the boy to be a wizard? Is he the fourth member from the right of the polyphonic spree? What is the need for such a whimsical middle name? Because it's like, what is he going to do, change his middle name? He's never going to change his middle name. It's just going to be there. A random Y looking at him. In fact, itself echoing the question, why? Why does Miles have a Y in it? Miles with an I. I love it. It's a denotation of time, or distance rather, not time. Miles. And also, it reacts well with his last name, Miles Young. A reflection of distance, a concept of age. Distance and age. It's a country song all written up into one. It's perfect. But not with a Y. You know? Like, that's a name that'd be made fun of in a country song. Well, I ran across a man named Miles with a Y. I said, well, why ask why? Your name is dumb and you suck. I don't know. It'd be a very mean-spirited country song. I don't know why anybody would sing that. I'd get offended for young Miles. But I don't know. I want everybody to let me know in the emails, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Let me know, am I overreacting? And meanwhile, while you're chastising me for yelling at a pregnant woman and my little brother about naming their child whatever the hell they want, please go ahead and listen to the Young Family Podcast. Speaking of emails, we get into those right after this.
You can
can, of course, email the show at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, that is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Email in here from Sam from Michigan. Today, I had two people having what appeared to be a very important conversation in a restaurant called the Tropical Smoothie Cafe. One time, my parents broke bad news to me in a Taco Bell. What would be the worst possible place to receive bad news? Could you imagine finding out that someone you love had cancer while you were jumping around at a bounce house? Or, I'm sorry, we have to break up, and then you get shot with a laser tag gun. So I want to turn this in a bit of a different direction, because I think we could get some interesting stories here out of this. What's the most awkward place you've ever been broken up with? For whatever reason, man, I got a bunch of people in my Twitter feed right now. Everybody moved to LA and then broke up with their significant others. There are some singles, hot singles on the market right now out in LA. And just in my Twitter feed, to be specific. So apparently breaking up is happening. As the ice thaws with winter, so does the bonds of the relationships, as now people are freeing themselves for some spring frolicking. But I want to know, email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, what's the most awkward place or funny place in retrospect that you've been broken up with? I got one breakup story for you. I initiated the breakup. It was on a 9-hour trip down, well, maybe not nine, maybe it was like seven. A 7-hour trip from Gainesville, Florida, back to where I was living in Margate. Let's go ahead and take a look here. Gainesville, Florida. Let's get some directions here. Gainesville, Florida, directions to Margate, Florida. No, all right, 4.5 hours, or five if you take the turnpike, or turnpike N95 if you want to save the money. So 5 hours. I broke up with somebody on a 5-hour trip down from Gainesville back to South Florida. And for whatever reason, I felt like I needed to do it because it was a fairly long relationship. We'd been together for about a year and change. And I felt like I needed, like, it was my penance. Like, I felt bad for breaking up with her. And so I did it, like, within the first half hour of driving back down to South Florida. And man, was that awkward. Holy smokes. It was, like, it was one of those situations that got so awkward so fast, eventually it became normal. Like, it went through all the degrees of the rainbow. If anything, I felt like maybe in hindsight it was the way to do it, because we just, like, it was like a very intense sweat lodge. You know, we just got all of it out. It was all coming out, you know, the denial, the bargaining, everything, all the stages of loss happened as the mile markers began to tick down as we came down from Gainesville, Florida, back on down to Margate. So I want to hear interesting, funny places that you've been broken up with right there. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Alex writes in. Here's an article about sexism in the Chicago improv comedy scene that was brought into the spotlight. TLDR, Charna Halpern, the owner of the IO Theater, made some dumb comments about alleged cases of sexual harassment within the classroom, which was caused all the improv training centers to re-examine their company and theater policies. I'd love to hear your thoughts from or those from other listeners. So this is a very specific story. I'll break it down to you in a specific, concise kind of way beyond what Alex said there. In general, you go to these improv classes, and there are levels, right? There's levels on levels on levels. Many of them are paid. So you have, like, improv 101, and then 201, then 301. And then once you are at the top of the paid level, if you are good enough, you're selected by teams to go fill in and become part of their teams, or teams form based on people in those, and then they basically create all the entertainment in the theater scene. So mix the troubling relationship that artists have with each other on romantic and sexual levels with a power structure that inherently enforces some already there kind of gender and power norms. And what you have is the kind of mess that you have in these situations, wherein young women who want to be funny, and especially in Chicago that has a tremendous history of funny women coming out of it, and they want to follow in those footsteps, have to hit their head on the fact that, you know, they essentially need to not get voted off the island by a bunch of dudes that are already there and entrenched with power. Combine that with the fact that in any artistic situation, when you are dedicating your life, in many cases, and careers to something, people have sex and date and marry and procreate with other people that are in that field. And that especially happens in the world of entertainment and comedy. In fact, you would be shocked, like, how many people in comedy lower their standards just to kind of have sex with other people that are in comedy because they're there. And you know, who else is up that late? It's shocking, man. Standards take a hit. In general, I don't know. I find it to be yet another example of why I kind of distrust a lot of those, specifically those improv theater power structures. I not like I have a better idea on how to do it, but they've always struck me as a little bit weird, and it doesn't shock me that there's other dirtier stuff that comes in there. Corey writes, I'd like to start my story with a twist, showing this is not exclusive. Oh, so here, Corey, who showed up to our contender meetup this week, in Manchester, the Central Ale House, wrote in this. This is about our creepy restaurant manager series. He writes, I'd like to start my story that to let you know that this is not exclusive to male managers. I was a 16-year-old young man working at a local steakhouse chain in Pennsylvania. I was originally interviewed for a dishwasher position, but the manager said I was too articulate not to be a host. Great, I think. I'd love a better job. Doing anything else seems fun. I immediately noticed that I was the only male host, which I didn't think much about, but boy did everyone else. Didn't take long for me to realize that this female manager, maybe about 40, definitely older than me, was being way too friendly. Almost any time there weren't any customers up front, she would come chat me up. She touched my shoulders and my arms as we talked. She even started giving me small personal gifts. Grooming 101. It was usually stuff like a cup of coffee, snacks, or other things of that nature. However, it was only me she would do it for. Word got around pretty fast, and it wasn't long before she started asking for my number and if I wanted to go out. Quote, you're too mature for this place, she smiled and winked at me one day. You should come out with me after work someday. I felt too awkward and weirded out by this to remember exactly how I handled it. But about 2 weeks later, she was transferred to another store for unknown reasons. Someone somewhere helped me dodge that bullet. I'll never know if they did this for any other action. I guess sometimes you'll never know the whole story. Now, having met Corey just 48 hours ago, I would like to say he's a handsome man. I can understand some cougar trying to put the claws on him. But it also apparently paints this picture that this is not unique to creepy male restaurant managers. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, this has been our quest. Our quest for me to illustrate to everybody who has never worked in food service the scourge of the earth known as the restaurant manager. Crunchy writes, I've worked retail and food experience and food for extended periods of time. Of course, there are managers in food that hit on the youngins, but there's an equal amount in retail. In fact, I've known many more retail managers to get fired for that reason alone. After all, teenage girls have big mouths. Although the city I worked in, the food industry was a lot more white people rich than the retail. So that could play a part. But the WPR city had just fired a teacher for getting fired for sending pictures of herself in lingerie to a student, despite being married with children. Can we address that teachers participate in hitting on underage kids pretty frequently as well? The difference is that people don't seem to frown on it quite so much. All the reactions around here are, well, she's a really good person and we've all made mistakes. Or, where are all these teachers when I was in school? It seems that when it's a woman, it appears less creepy and more as misdirection or possibly even really hot. Well, yeah, Crunchy. I mean, this is something that's been well documented on South Park had a whole big thing about the dichotomy between a male high school teacher creeping on a student and a female high school teacher creeping on a student. And this gets back into our inherent kind of gender stereotypes. But this is something else I want to just put the net out there, because I feel like, no judgment, I would like to see other people tell stories of their maybe friends, themselves, who have had people that are teachers that might have crossed the line a little bit. I got a buddy that never crossed the line. Never did anything that was inappropriate. But in this world of people going into teaching fairly young, right? You got a generation of people that are having a hard time getting a job right out of school. Teachers seems to be a pretty good gig, public school teaching. You know, so you got people that are maybe 22, 23, getting a job at a high school where they're teaching 18-year-olds. Next thing you know, in a Facebook-connected world, you got a few friend requests, right? Maybe you're still 22, 23. You're out hitting the club. Next thing you know, you see a couple of your students wander in on a fake ID. Or maybe it's not even a fake ID. After all, down in South Florida where I'm from, there's a lot of clubs that are 21 to chill, or 21 to spill, 18 just to chill. So I want to know. People who have maybe skirted the edge there. Email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. We end here on an uplifting note. WD writes, a year ago today, I thanked you for saving my life, or rather, inspiring me to give myself another chance. In the past year, I've graduated with a two-year film program at Valencia College, and within months, I lined up many media management and editing gigs that I have nearly given me financial independence. Tomorrow morning, I'm starting my drive from Orlando, Florida to Olympia, Washington for a 10-week digital imaging technician gig. It's for reality, but still. All of my first 6 months out of school. On top of that, I'm the happiest, healthiest, and most stable relationship of my life. We recently passed the 3-month mark, my longest yet. A happiness I have found only in my darkest, or not found in my darkest hours, but long after I, cue the cheesy PSA music, learned to love myself. The sentiment we've all heard before, but what people forget to mention, is not entirely about the confidence, but the stability. When you can be there for someone else too, not always the ones in need. This is all to say, I'm still on the road. I'm listening to each and every jury episode, and now politics, 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 and I'm happily not dying. My journey isn't over. I'm only 20, for God's sakes. I turn 21 next month. But there still will be struggles ahead. But they're not inside me. I love myself. I love who I've become. And I'm ready to tackle what's ahead. I joked last year my journey would end up shaking your hand, and I still hope that that happens. Whether my production work leads me to a set you're on or just a convention down the road, I'd like to thank you. You've done a lot, not just for me, but I'm quite sure other people. On your own adventure this year, I hope you remember just how big of a heart you've got and how courageous you are for sharing it with other people. You're bigger on the inside. We all are. Remember that, all right? Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And I hate to end on a gigantically self-aggrandizing note, but I just kind of have to. And I want to just say this for everybody. This is a podcast that is tremendously personal to me, and it is something that I care for deeply. I want to thank everybody who supports us on patreon.com/JURY. I want to thank everybody who downloads and listens to this on Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere else that you find fine podcasts. Do yourself a favor. If you do enjoy this show, take a minute to go ahead and review us out there on the iTunes. If you got to email me about anything, you can do it at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. And of course, Twitter and Instagram is Justin R. Young. Follow the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to remember that Peyton Manning is a pile of garbage, if you would like to remember that Hank Levine will not give you a free burrito, bitch. And if you would like to remember that even if your nick, even if your middle name has some sort of randomly jammed in odd letter, you're still a good person. Well, while you're thinking of all that, go ahead and think of your old pal Justin Robert Young and his words of wisdom. Because it is from this podcast that you can know for sure that I, your humble host, wishes you to please don't.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.